Good morning. God bless you all. May we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for songs and exhortations of challenge and hope. Thank you for thoughts that you've stirred in my mind, my heart this week. Now, in the name of Jesus, purify my heart. Direct my tongue, that my words are life-giving, helpful. Touch our ears. Bless all the service. Let us be hearers, doers, live in your word. Amen. Seems like the past few weeks, I've been extremely blessed, extremely challenged by different sermons, children's lessons, the couple's night, recently this past week, I guess our boys have picked up the cough, and so that's been challenging, but I feel like the Lord's given me a number of thoughts this morning. And as we've done our daily devotions and reading, as I've done studying, seems like they've just grown and grown, and I see a little more and see a little more. So I've tried to write some things down and make it make sense. If it doesn't, if I've missed it, forgive me, bear with me. God bless you. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, is where I'd like to start this morning. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, let's start reading at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. And verse 13 stands out to me. And I was walking the route a couple weeks ago and rounded a corner. And there was a young boy, maybe 6, 7, 8 years old, and he was climbing in a dirt pile in front of the house. Not an affluent, not a godly neighborhood, not a godly scene in any way, shape, or form. And no parents, no adults around. It actually surprised me. You know, I walk around looking down at the mail in my hands, and when I come across an individual, a lot of times I'm just taken by surprise. And so I said, "Hi there." And he said, "Hello." And I said, well, how are you doing?" And he said, "I'm getting ready to go fishing with my dad. I'm digging for worms." And And so I said, well, have you found quite a few? And he said, no, I've got more digging to do. I don't have my bucket full yet. And so I wished him well and went on with the route. And that scene has stuck with me. And of course, John, in my mind, is poetic. And even verse 13 is poetic. But as many which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's poetic to me. But there's a stark reality in those words. There is a reason that every individual lives upon the face of this earth. And I believe that it is found in these words. And, there's blood. There are kings and there are bloodlines and there are lineages. And there are advantages. There are disadvantages to coming into existence here on the face of the earth through those means. Amen. Many, I didn't come into existence on the face of the earth through a bloodline or through royalty. And for many, it might stir in the heart, if only I were a prince. If only I were a princess. But there are advantages, there are disadvantages to that. Amen? Of course, there's the will of the flesh. John paints it so poetically. Love, a man and a woman fall in love. They follow the course of nature that God has just ordained. And men and women, boys and girls, they grow up. They exist here on the face of the earth. There are advantages. There are disadvantages. There's the will of the flesh. There's a man and a woman that fall in love, and they love their children. Amen. Great advantage to that. There's the will of the flesh, and it's the unseemly. It's the rottenness. It's the selfishness of the flesh. There are great disadvantages for children that grow up in those kinds of situations. Of course, there's the will of man. Advantageous, disadvantageous. Paul was a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. In my mind, that would be an example of the will of man. That dad said, I'm going to train my son to follow in my steps. Nothing wrong with that. The will of man. There's a lot of good, a lot of advantage there. And then some don't have that advantage. There's no will, there's no purpose in their upbringing. And here's the most beautiful portion of that whole verse. But of God. And I'm mindful, I didn't reference this. Again, my thoughts were really big and just kept going and going. I believe maybe it's in Ephesians. Just that phrase, but God. In other words, life has dragged people around. Life has taken people on a course. There's powers that are sweeping through this world. But God. Amen. And my thoughts run along this course. And here it is Mother's Day, but my thoughts run along this course, dependent upon Dad. That little boy on that dirt pile, he Dad was big in his mind. Dad was big in his heart. I didn't see his dad. I don't know who his dad is. But at 6, 7, 8 years old, Dad has a place in that boy's mind and heart. He's dependent upon Dad. And so here in John chapter 1, we have why it is that we're here on earth. And there is, why ever somebody is here on the face of this earth, a cry. What am I doing here? Amen. It makes parenting of great value and great importance. And so here's some thoughts on Dad. And of course, they can be applied. It is Mother's Day. To parenting in general. Just in our daily reading, came across this thought in 2 Kings chapter 13 and 23. And at this point in the history of Israel, Israel has really slipped and slipped and slipped and gone away and gone away and gone away from God. But oh, the influence that parents can have in the lives of their children. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're deceased. They're long out of the picture physically and generationally. But the Bible states that God remembered His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he sent rescue. He sent deliverance. He sent a Savior to Israel, even in the state that they were in. And I think of that in these terms. Maybe you've worked at a place and you wonder what so-and-so is doing here. And you may find out, I knew their dad. I remember their dad. And so they've got a job here. Or I'm working with them because I knew their dad, because of what their dad did. And parents, we I believe by the Bible can exercise an influence in situations, even bad situations, children may encounter. Just thoughts. I hope they're sensible. In Matthew chapter 2, we see Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, making decisions that influence the life of Jesus. He makes a decision to go and dwell in Egypt. He makes a decision to come back to Israel, but not dwell in Bethlehem, but go and dwell in Nazareth. And of course, I believe it was Andrew maybe said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" In other words, when Philip came to Andrew, Andrew, we found him. Jesus of Nazareth, and Andrew is doubtful. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? But there's an influence. There must have been. Of course, Jesus is the Son of God. We know that. But Mary and Joseph, why did they choose to dwell in Nazareth? But oh, the influence they played in Jesus' life, even in that setting. I mentioned Saul of Tarsus, a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Hebrews chapter 12 mentions natural fathers, alludes to natural fathers and the respect that we have when they chasten us. The natural fathers, they do that in hope of bringing out something better in their children. Amen? Ephesians, you know, exhorts us to bring up our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The wonder, the responsibility, the hope that God has ordained to exist in parenting. But I looked at all of that in terms of, but of God. If I understand here in the Gospel of John, and I'm open to input, I'm open to correction, I'm open to thoughts, I'm open to help. Looking at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 21, I won't turn there. But Peter talks about that we're not redeemed by the traditions inherited, vain conversations of our fathers. And that's not to say that all traditions are bad. It's not to say that there is vanity in all choices of parenting. I don't see that that is Peter's heart. But I see that in the light of this verse, this passage here in the Gospel of John, that there's a but God. And with Peter, there's a precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So being born a princess or a prince may afford you some advantages here on earth. But when it comes to God, there's a level playing field. There is a but God, and there is a precious blood of Jesus. Being born in a place that you do not have life's opportunities, that you do not have the love of mom or dad, that may put you at a disadvantage here on earth. But there is a but God. There is a precious blood of Jesus. And my thought is dependent upon Dad. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 2, talks about that proverb, the father ate a sour grape and the children's teeth are set on edge. And this is a beautiful thing. God says, in other words, where is that proverb? What power, what authority does that proverb have? And Ezekiel goes on and he goes down through and he brings out the idea of personal responsibility and the idea of repentance and the idea of God's wonderful equality. Amen. That if somebody is abiding in darkness and just bent on going in that direction and comes to a point and says, you know what? This is not working. You know what? I see where this road is leading. You know what? I want a change. God says, I permit that 100%, in other words. Amen. And so I began to look at all these pictures of parenting, all these pictures of fatherhood, all these pictures of children really are dependent upon dad. But whether we like it or not, whether it's a good situation or not, dad, society, nurture, and nature bear an influence on us all. But of God, the precious blood of Jesus, that there is a born again experience that imparts, and again, I'm open to correction, I'm open to development, that imparts the nature of God the Father in the heart, the mind, the being of an individual, that through His name, that light that came into the world, Jesus Christ, grace and truth, that there is that seed, that engrafted word that sparks a different creature, a different creation. Amen. But there's nurture. The writer of Hebrews says, "Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord." In other words, there's more to just being born again. That there's growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, trying to finish up and wrap up these thoughts. Jesus spoke in Matthew, the Beatitudes, but also in Luke chapter 11. He's talking to men. Said, "What man of you having a son that would ask him bread or ask him a fish?" And I believe Luke adds an egg. So it says, "Would give him something out of trickery and not give him the actual thing." And Jesus uses that picture to encourage us, to encourage them, to encourage all mankind for all time. He said, "Consider your heavenly Father. Will He not give good things to them that ask Him?" James talks about God. He gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And of course, there's conditions. There is the goodness, the overwhelming wonder and generosity of God. But there are conditions. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, God says, "Come out from among them, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing, and I will be to them a father, that they'll be sons and daughters." Of course, I've mentioned the chastening of the Lord. A father here on earth, mother here on earth, they do it to steer and to direct a child in life. God does the same to direct us into perfection. There's the Father in Luke chapter 15. Dependent upon dad. That boy, he was dependent upon dad. His hands, he was going at that dirt pile. He was serious about finding worms and getting a bucket full to go fishing with dad. That young man that left home and squandered all of dad's riches with righteous living, He came to himself and he got determined. He got dependent on Dad again. I'm going back to my Father's house. And the Father saw him a great way off and ran to meet him. And then Jesus talks about his Heavenly Father in the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5 towards the end, that he sends rain upon the just and upon the unjust, and calls on me to be perfect like he is perfect. And so my challenge in all of those thoughts, all of those considerations, and all of that aimlessness, I apologize for that. Jesus said, John chapter 6, other places, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And my challenge in all that is, how dependent am I upon my Heavenly Father? So often, daily, I seem to have it figured out. And then something happens, and I think, maybe I'll go pray and ask for help instead. Just small examples. Amen. Sometimes I feel like I'm an adult. I'm an adult. I've seen some things. I've been through some things. I've had some experiences. I can handle this. When if I would have thought, I need Dad's help with this. Let me ask Dad. It probably would have worked out better. And that is the wondrous and amazing thing about Jesus. Jesus never got too old to depend upon his Dad. And that's the wondrous thing about but God. We can depend upon Dad. God bless you this morning. I apologize for my aimlessness and so many thoughts, but I'd like to encourage us all, even though it's Mother's Day, to depend upon Dad. Amen. And I believe you know what I'm saying, our Heavenly Father. God bless.